This hour of Phil Hendry is brought to you by Dynapep Micro Energy Shot.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Basically, they let my mother die on that plane.
No interest in helping you with your life.
We've got owners, most of whom are worth.
You know, Donald Trump.
My butt would be wrong.
World famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. A news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Where truth is our bitch, and we go through the looking glass and take you places other talk shows wish they could, but they cannot. Welcome to our program tonight. We start off this evening with an interesting story about teachers and Facebook, and how one teacher is reacting or lashing back or lashing out, or how one teacher is getting back at students who are going on Facebook and talking about their teachers. Next hour, Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police on a topic we have not discussed at length on the program for a long time, and that is airline security. And our number here on the Phil Hendry Show is 877-876-PHIL. It's 877-876-7445. We're in high-definition video tonight, as we are every night on our website, philhendryshow.com. So if you want to watch a video cast of the show, high-D, as well as all kinds of effects and multi-camera, and, you know, all that jazz. We got Buddy Bear here. He's got his Dynapep, and Ted Bell, the Bear's got his Dynapep. And in a moment, I'm going to be getting on the line with my producer, Jason, and we're going to see if we can't figure out how to uncorrupt my computer, which is just reeking of virus after some fake program got in there when I was looking at a porn site. I mean, when I was...
I'll bet.
No, when I was looking at some important information. Our number, 877-876-PHIL. It's 877-876-PHIL. Vernon Dozier, a longtime contributor of ours, he is a teacher at Belmar Academy in Glendale, California. He's going to come on the line here in a moment and talk about this story. A story that involves him, and as a matter of fact, is involving more and more teachers across this country, and that is this notion of kids going online and using their Facebook accounts to badmouth teachers. Now, in Atherton, California, an eighth grade math teacher at Atherton Selby Lane School rattled a tape. Oh, wait, this is the wrong story. Sorry. Students in hot water for Facebook posts calling a teacher a pedophile. This is it. Vernon, good evening.
Good evening, Phil. How are you doing? It sounds like you're having about as difficult a day as I started to have today myself.
Well, all right, let's talk about this, because this is not your case. This is in Atlanta, Georgia.
No, I know, Phil, but just to clarify for your listeners, this happens quite a bit, and it happens to teachers all over the country. It's happened to me. It's happened to other very good teachers, and I think that we've got to face the facts that at some point teachers need to be protected from this sort of public humiliation, public slandering, and libeling and so forth.
All right, this is a 13-year-old girl who called her teacher a pedophile online, says her principal ordered her to log on to Facebook so she could read the offending post and ensuing responses by her friends. The investigation by Douglas County school officials resulted in the suspension of Alejandro Sosa and two other Chapel Hill Middle School students. They could face harsher penalties, including banishment to a school for children with behavior problems, when they go before a tribunal on March the 10th.
That's right.
Alejandro told the AJC in an interview that included her mother Thursday that she regrets what she posted. She said she is drafting an apology to her teacher, but she also said the school principal violated her privacy by taking her to a school library computer and ordering her to log on to her Facebook account. What do you got to say about that?
Oh, I think that is absolute rubbish. I think that a teacher in the middle of a school day asking a student to access something that could be potentially harmful to the learning environment of the school and the students there, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. And I will go you one better, Phil, and you know that we are dealing with a similar situation here at Belmar Academy, and I think we're dealing with it in a very unique way.
Well, now you have taken to your Facebook account yourself. Is that correct? And you have a Facebook account?
Yes, I do. As a matter of fact, most of the teachers have some kind of a Facebook account where you, will friend the students. And many of the posts, if not all the posts, have to do with the school. It has to do with, in some instances, it has to do with homework assignments. It has to do with extracurricular activities. A lot of it has to do with athletics.
Like the football games?
Yeah, like football games coming up, basketball games. And some of it has to do with the extracurriculars, such as we had our snowball, which is a semi-formal dance for our sophomores. We've got our junior and senior proms. And this kind of thing.
So tell me about your Facebook page, because what happened is that you were singled out by two students. Our number, by the way, 877-876-7445.
Okay. Well, the students are Mindy Christ and Taylor Landon. I think you know who they are.
Well, that information was not made available to us.
Well, they had posted. These are two female students of mine in my sciences class, junior chemistry class, who posted on their Facebook pages that I was a pervert because I had said something to one of them when we had, we do an annual review, myself and one of our teachers, Karen Cotter. This is an annual review of our female students, which we entitle Having Respect for Yourself. We call it Having Respect for Yourself. The review is nothing more than Karen and I, one of the advisors, will have the girls line up and walk across the front of the classroom and then back down the back of the class and then just stand at the back. And what they're doing is they're walking, and I guess you could say it's similar. It's not a fashion show, but it's a similar thing where they're walking and showing us how they're dressed. And Karen and myself will then tell the girls at the end of this what was right, what was wrong with their clothing, and that's what these girls are reacting to.
And so you tell me this again. So not don't tell me again.
What we do?
No. But what you do is, I understood what you said. You have the female students, juniors,
juniors and seniors,
and they walk in front of you and Karen Cotter, showing you their clothing.
That is correct. Yes.
And this is called having respect for yourself.
Yeah, we felt it was something good for the female students to take a look at what they're wearing, and what is the reaction they're going to get. And I had singled out two of these girls, and Karen did too. And there is by the way, Phil, a point where I leave the classroom. I don't leave, but I do turn my back so that Karen can have the girls also, which is very important, to the extent that they're able, show whatever kind of undergarment they're wearing. Because if they're at our school in thongs or some other kind of sex wear, it's absolutely unacceptable.
So, and you're in the classroom when these girls are showing her this?
Yes, I am. But as I said, I got my back turned, and then I'll turn around again. And Karen will sometimes look at me and say, "Okay, I want to see, because this skirt she's wearing may look suspect." So I'll turn my back. But the point that I wanted to make here, Phil, these girls called me a pervert on their Facebook page. They also called Karen Cotter some very disparaging things, which I will not go into because I'm a gentleman. But they called her some very disparaging things that have to do with, questioning her orientation. She's a married woman. She has two children herself. Her husband's a doctor. And these two girls go on Facebook and impugn one of the finest women I've ever met in education to this day, Karen Cotter,
Don't go into it if you feel embarrassed, you know.
I don't. But again, they called her a. They were questioning her orientation, meaning she doesn't like men.
I understand.
So so they put that about her. Then they wrote about me that I was a pervert. And
all right, now what are these girls calling you a pervert? Is this because you have this respect yourself sort of? I don't know what you call it. What do you call it?
It's a review. It's a review of the clothing they're wearing. And in Karen's case, she's going to see what the undergarments are that the girls are wearing. And it's a review of that. And it is also, Phil, and I'm very proud of this, it's a review of just attitude. Because I will say to the girls, as I said to Mindy and to Taylor, I said, look at the skirt you're wearing. And both girls had on very tight I guess, sort of not a mini skirt.
Were they well above the knee?
Yeah, it'd be pretty high above the knee. And I said, look at what you're wearing, and what do you think that's going to do to a man that looks at it? And they go on their Facebook page and call me a pervert and said that I smiled at them. Of course I smiled at them. Of course I did. These are students of mine. These are young people. I don't want to scare them. I don't want to do anything other than exert a positive influence on them.
All right. Now, you have a Facebook page.
Yes, sir.
What did you do?
Well, rather than make an issue with the school or with the parents, I went on my Facebook page. And I called them out. Now, I am an adult, and I'm a teacher, so I'm going to do it in a way that I think that the kids can learn. And I told them on my Facebook page that I felt that these girls, you know, I said to them, you should be careful, what you wear. And I drew a caricature of some kind.
What was the caricature?
Well, it was a crude drawing. I'm not an artist, but I drew as best as I could, a picture of a girl in a tight dress. And this was probably the poor judgment on my part, but I drew an appendage, sort of reaching out to it. Now,
well, that to me sounds extremely childish.
No, but you have to speak in the language that the kids are speaking in, okay?
But let me just ask you a question here. And our number, 877-876-PHIL, we're going to take a break here in just a moment. I just want to ask you a question here, Vernon. You are trying to, you're going back and forth on a Facebook page with students.
That is correct.
One of the students, two of the students have called you a pervert, and you went back and posted you drew a picture of a girl in a tight dress and something crude.
It was bad judgment. I wouldn't call it crude. Look, what we're trying to teach them is that...
Did you get... I got a notice here. Did you have an arrow pointing to the girl and you wrote Mindy?
That is correct, yes.
And you wrote Taylor on another one?
Yeah, I did two of them, I think.
And you have a... I don't even want to say, but I...
You can say it if you want. I mean, it's... I drew it. I regret it. I don't think it was a big thing. Because understand, the bigger issue is why are they wearing that? That prompts me to go on my Facebook page and have to deal with it. You understand, they called me a pervert on their Facebook pages. So I had to go on my Facebook page and deal with it. And I had to deal with it the best way I knew how, which was to draw a sketch of what a girl looks like in a tight, skirt, and then draw a man's blank. And it's difficult to do.
To me, it sounds like bathroom graffiti.
No, sir, it is not. And you have to understand something.
Well, it does. I mean, if you go on Facebook, you're a teacher, and this is a student of yours, and she has violated some dress code, and you draw.
No, you don't understand. You got to slow it way down, Phil, because you're not a teacher. I am. You don't understand. We've got teachers out there that are being slandered by students on Facebook. I took to Facebook and defended myself. And I drew a picture of a girl in a tight dress, and I had an arrow that said, that's Taylor, and that one's Mindy, and this is what's going to happen, and I don't know.
So what was the, you're saying they're going to get raped?
No, I didn't say that. I said, that's what they do. That's what will happen.
On one of the male appendages, you wrote the word Mr. Dozier.
No, sir.
You wrote Mr. Dozier on one of them, is that right?
I said to those girls, Mr. Henry, you have to listen to what I'm saying.
No, but I'm going to listen to you, Vernon, and I want to hear. But on your Facebook page, you drew this caricature of these two girls in tight dresses, and you wrote Mr. Dozier. Now, I'm trying with all of my heart to understand how this is an adult response to two girls who you felt were dressed inappropriately.
I am fighting back for every teacher out there that gets disparaged on a Facebook page or on a MySpace page, sir. That's what I'm...
All right, hold the line here. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Do you think teachers ought to go on their own Facebook pages and retort or fire back at students who call them perverts? In this case, Vernon Dozier went on his Facebook page, drew a an obscene caricature of two of the girls, and he's on our show to explain it. He's also in trouble with the school board. 877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. The Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
On the line with me, Vernon Dozier from Belmar Academy, Glendale, California. You know, the idea of students going on Facebook and disparaging teachers, well, this is a very, very well-known thing, and it's happened for a long time, and it's happened intermittently in schools across America. And it has also been a small thing and been a big thing. Now, what we have here, Mr. Dozier, is you and two female students doing battle on Facebook when, in point of fact, in my opinion, you should be doing this by way of administrative process. We do have people who are going who are on the line to talk to you, but I'll let you respond to that briefly, please.
You want me to respond to it briefly? All right, I'll respond to it briefly.
Well, we just have people who want to talk to you.
All right. I can go to one of the administrators, and I can throw myself on their mercy. I think is the term you want to use. And I don't do that. Vernon Dozier, I'm a longtime member of the faculty here. The football stadium is named after me. And one thing I do not have is a big ego. But when the football stadium is named after you, you don't go crying to Judy Cartwright, who is our headmaster. I don't go to Karen Cotter and say, "You got to help me."
She's not on the air.
I apologize, but you got to help me. I defended you when they called you what they did, and now they're. You understand what I'm saying? So I'm going to deal with it my way, and in dealing with it my way, that's to me that's the best way.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Dealing with it your way may be the best way, may not. I don't know, but it's definitely your way. Here's Tom in Boston on the Phil Hendry Show, listening on WTKK. Go ahead, Tom.
I'm a little bit confused about the dress code issue and teachers looking at girls' underwear. I'm a little confused with that, whether you think it's appropriate or not. I don't think it's any of your damn business whether what she's wearing for underwear. If you have a dress code,
if you send your daughter to school dressed as if she's going to the Playboy Mansion, what do you expect us to do? Are we supposed to just let that go? I don't think so.
If you have a dress code and her outer clothing violates your dress code, then you need to get the parent involved. Period.
That's a good question. So,
other than the fact that it doesn't agree with your dress code, that's a whole different issue. But if you have a teacher, faculty member, or anybody else at that school looking at my daughter's underwear, I'll tell you what, I'm going to come down here and start knocking their heads together.
Wait a second. You'd 90 million other guys say the same thing. But at the end of the day, sir, we have a school and we have an academic environment. And if Karen Cotter tells one of these girls, lift your dress up, I got to see what... this is a female, not a male. This is a female saying, let's take a look.
It doesn't matter who it is. It is none of your business
because,
what my daughter is wearing to school. All this is her clothing.
Let me ask you, then why do you send her to school dressed in clothing that prompts me to have to put a filthy drawing on Facebook? And
what? No, Vernon. No, come on, man. You put a crude drawing. Let's call it what it was. It was a man's penis, wasn't it?
Mr. Hendry, I am a teacher.
Wasn't that what that was, though?
I was telling the girls what they were doing wearing those skirts. That's what I was doing. And when Karen Cotter...
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
What is your dress code?
The dress code says that a young lady will wear clothing and young men that are appropriate to the academic... We're a private school. They will wear clothing that is appropriate to the academic environment, that is comfortable... And that is that is current and modern. We don't want them looking, you know, we don't want them to be embarrassed.
Well, is there anything in the dress code about underwear, tight skirts?
There is. In my dress code, there is. Let me put it that way.
In my dress code? You are one school. If you have a dress code at the school, you can do whatever you need to do with that dress code. But if it doesn't address your underwear, it is none of your business.
In my dress code, I look at the underwear.
Phil Hendry. 877-876-PHIL. Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Hey, watch our video cast tonight and every night. Go to philhendryshow.com. We're in high definition video, and watch us perform our show at philhendryshow.com. Vernon Dozier has joined us from Belmar Academy, a frequent contributor, but a part of a news story that's a national news story, Mr. Dozier, and that is the idea that students go on Facebook to disparage teachers. I want to get to our calls, but again, I want to give you an opportunity to explain what you said just before the break, that you make your own dress code. You know,
no, I didn't say that, Phil.
You sort of did. You said it violates my dress code.
But let me tell you what it meant, and I hope I explained myself. When they dedicated the football stadium to me, and this was after our 2005 season when we had won Division IV, and we had won the Delmonico League by two games, and it was a great moment for me, and they named the stadium after me. And in the many testimonials that I heard during that ensuing spring and summer, the word institution was used a lot. You're an institution. You're an institution. And I remember saying to Bob Vitale, who at that time was our headmaster, I said, you know, if you're an institution, you sort of make your own rules. He said, well, in a lot of ways you can. I said, well, I know that we've got a not much of a dress code here because it's a private school. It's a college prep school. I said, I want to start to, I don't like spaghetti straps. He said, done. I said, I want 2 inches and no more above the knee. He said, done. Now, how does that make me a pervert?
When you go on Facebook and draw pictures of the girls in their tight skirts with a penis.
That is not a crude, that is what you don't understand, Mr. Hendry.
When you're a teacher, you have to be elevated above the level of the student.
What you don't understand, and I'm not telling you how to do your job, so please don't tell me how to do mine. You have to give as good as you get. When they fire at me that I'm a quote-unquote queer, fairy, pervert, a guy that likes to dress up for his wife in panties, I'm going to fire right back with the same ammunition. Okay? You know, I mean, it's on. You know, we can go back all weekend. And I would log on and check my Facebook, messages and check their status. And one of them had a status that said, you know, something like, I've gone too far. And I said, okay, check this out. So
what you're doing is you're going back and forth with a couple of girls, children, two teenage girls, and you are engaging in some kind of a back and forth over the weekend on Facebook the way a teenage boy might.
That is exactly correct. It's not entirely correct because I'm an adult and I'm not thinking. It's not like a teenage boy who's angry because he wants to have to go to, you know, to go to bed with him. That's not what that is. It's me saying, okay, I'm going to get down in the dirt where you live. You want to live in the dirt? I can get right down into the dirt. I can get further into the dirt than you, and we'll go ahead and do that.
As opposed to just talking to the administration, all right, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445, Facebook. Boy, is it getting out of control in terms of high school students and teachers and people calling each other out publicly. Here is Denise in San Leandro, California, listening on KNEW. Go ahead, Denise.
You know what, Mr. Dozier, when you mentioned that you and the other teacher had the young girls raid up and then go sit in the back, I thought, okay, this sounds really strange. And then you turn your back to have the other teacher look to see what kind of underwear they have on. Okay,
that's what,
stranger still.
She's a female teacher.
Mr. Dozier, Mr. Dozier, I'm an instructor at a community college level, at a beauty college. And we have a lot of the girls that come dressed inappropriately. I had this happen last Saturday. An instructor, one of my colleagues, she came to me and said, I'll make up a name. Mary, her dress is too short. I'm like, yeah, I know. So when I got an opportunity, I pulled that student aside by herself and said, sweetheart, your skirt is too short. It's inappropriate. She apologized, yada, yada, yada. Okay, secondly, you're an instructor.
That's a college student. That is not a high school student, ma'am. A high school student you got to deal with a whole different way.
Okay,
you know, you
got to
get right down to the filth.
Okay, listen, Mr. Dozier. These students are high school students to their early 20s. And this young lady I'm talking about was about, I think she's like 19. But this is my point. Facebook.
You mean high school students to their early 20s? I thought you said it was a community college. Wait a minute. She said it was a community college, Ms. Hendry.
What kind of school is this? What kind of school is it, Denise?
It's a beauty college. It's a private beauty college. It's a private school.
Well, I thought you said it was a community college
curriculum.
No,
it's a community college.
Oh, I see. I got you. Okay.
But
it's
a privately owned beauty college. Now,
so you're going to a teenager and you're saying, you know, I can see your, did you tell her, I can see your bare rear end through this? Did you tell her that or not?
Hey, no.
I'm not even using
that kind of language because they're students. But this is my point. Facebook, teachers, and students, absolutely not. That there was no way as a teacher or a staff member, someone that has a football stadium named after him, that you should have went back at those students. That should have been handled with the administration, counselors, with the parents, with that student, not on Facebook, because you cannot be at the same level as students, because they're children, so to speak.
I
think there's a bigger problem. I think what happened is you got caught, okay?
I got a football stadium named after me, ma'am. Well,
I don't care if you have 10 football stadiums named after you.
Well,
standing in a room with your back turned while another teacher sees what kind of undergarments she has on, they have on, is inappropriate. And replying back to a student via Facebook, drawing a picture with an appendage pointing towards those young girls is inappropriate, and you should be on administrative leave and or fire.
That's exactly what I said to you, Vernon.
Again, the two of you can talk all you want, but I have been described as an institution
at
that school.
My children...
I've tried to hold back, but I'm going to go with both barrels on this. A beauty college? How do you know the people you're teaching are even literate? All they got to know how to do is put curlers in.
Okay.
All they got to know how to do is put someone's curlers in.
You know
very insulting. You didn't need to say that to that lady. She's an instructor, and so are you. What we're talking about is a dress code, and I appreciate very much your call, Denise. 877-876-PHIL. A dress code that you say you make yourself.
That woman never once, is she there? Where is she?
She's gone.
Well, she never once addressed the issue, which is Facebook, and how I got called out. I did not start this. They started that. I did not start it. I got called out on a Saturday morning. I was going online to look at some scores. There was some basketball going on. I want to look and see. I relax by watching sports on the weekend. I get called out on Facebook, and they tied my Saturday up till about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and it wasn't until about a quarter to 4 that I went ahead and posted these, and I can't even draw, so they were very crude. You couldn't even tell it was and so that was at the end of a long day of them calling me a douchebag and a fairy. And
well, what were you calling them?
I wasn't calling them anything. I mean, I was going back and saying that they were behaving like sluts. I didn't say they were sluts. And
well, you're going back and forth all afternoon. They're calling you a fairy and a douchebag, and you're calling them sluts, and you're the teacher.
That is exactly right, but I'm doing it as a teacher, not as a kid, and that's the difference.
All right, 877-876-PHIL, the number here on the Phil Hendry Show with Vernon Dozier from Belmar Academy on Facebook, teachers and students. And in this case, Mr. Dozier went back at the students on his own Facebook page. Here is Tom in Mobile, Alabama, listening on WAVH. Go ahead, Tom.
Yes, sir. Mr. Dozier needs to be relieved of his job. During this great recession, there's too many good teachers. Well, there's too many good teachers out there that need a job. And, sir, you should have never participated in debate with these students over the issue at hand. If you have a male or female student dressed improperly, just like I went to school in the 70s, you send that student to the office and have their parents pick them up so they can go home and get dressed properly.
Sure. You don't, sure,
you don't participate.
That's the traditional way of doing it. I don't do it traditionally. I try to find new ways to communicate with my students, which, as you know, as a former teacher, is part of our job.
Well, that'll be your undoing, sir, because even during the 70s when I went to school, you'll always have students talking about teachers, good and bad, but you cannot participate.
When you were in school, they didn't have Facebook, my friend. This is all over the world.
They're calling me a fairy. But that's okay. You don't have to participate in hearsay from children. You just have to conduct yourself properly, and that way these children will never have ammunition against you. But when you get on the Internet and start drawing private male parts anatomy referring to these students, you've crossed the line, and you should be dismissed.
That guy didn't do anything that you don't see in a toilet stall.
Well, that's exactly the point.
No, that is not the point.
That is exactly the point. You were using a Facebook page as if it was a toilet stall, and you're drawing these pictures.
Both of you gentlemen are missing the point. This is an international. This kid, and I don't know if you saw the movie, but this Zuckerberg, you know, he's basically made it okay to call teachers fairies and weirdos, and it gets into parts of the world where they barely have, where they're still riding camels.
You don't have to worry about what people say about you. That goes on no matter what form of media you're talking about, even in private conversations. If you conduct yourself properly, sir, you don't have to worry about what people say about you.
I conduct myself properly, okay?
No, you didn't. You're having some kind of a fashion show.
All right, now I resent that. What do you mean by fashion show?
Well, you said you line them up like it's a fashion show. I was using your words.
I said it was a runway style review. And when Connor said, I got to see, she used a phrase and this was her, not me. She said, let me see a little early morning dew. I turned around because I was very embarrassed. And
what does that mean?
It meant she said she wanted to see their underwear.
Well,
A little early morning dew.
This Marine has two nieces, and if you want a review of their underwear, you're going to have a big problem, sir. The underwear is
I'm not looking to get into it with you or the Marine Corps, for God's sake. I'm here to teach your kids, not to have the First Division of the Marines come
I'm just saying, sir, you should not have gone where you went with this.
Exactly.
And you should be dismissed because too many good people out there need teaching jobs. Thank you, and have a good day.
Thank you. Thank you very much, sir, for your call. 877-876-PHIL, world famous Phil Hendry Show. We are going to take a break.
Well, you know, but you let him have the last word because he's a Marine. Is that what you did?
No, sir. I, Mr. Dozier.
And, you know, I notice how it's Mr. Dozier now because at one time on your show, Phil, I was Vernon. And you let this guy have the last word. So I am left at the end. When you go to the part where we don't talk, your commercials, I am left at the end of each one of those segments with egg dripping off my face. And you're telling me that I am perverted. And you're telling me that I am sick.
I'm telling you you're inappropriate. I'm telling you that...
No, hold on. You're telling me I'm inappropriate and I'm perverted. But you're leaving me with my face dripping with egg, which... What does that look like? I'll give you two guesses.
Oh, yeah, grow up. 877... 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and we'll be right back.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
And welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show with Vernon Dozier from Belmore Academy on the line, and we're going to conclude here. You made a comment during the break, which I have to engage you on this. You said, because I had mentioned that, you know, we talked to or had a message from Hugh Hefner on Twitter.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
What about that?
Hugh Hefner is one of the world's legendary pornographers, and you had, or someone in your staff, had a conversation with him on Twitter. And I am standing here defending myself against 16-year-old girls that called me a queer and called Karen Cotter, who's one of the finest women. I have to roll that around in your mind for a second. These are kids.
And you said that you would not bring...
I know what I said, but I'm fighting for my reputation now. These are young kids who called Karen Cotter, who is one of the greatest teachers I've ever met, one of the finest women, skipping the scales and taking white pills. And that's a quote from one of those songs. Now, what they're basically saying is she's a lesbian that drives a truck and violates ICC standards. And, you know, to my way of thinking, some people may find that funny. I think that's insulting.
It may be insulting, but the point that we're trying to make here, that sounds bizarre to me. It may be insulting. The point we're trying to make here is that as a teacher, you have to rise above that. Here is Dee in Topeka, Kansas, listening on WIBW. Hello, Dee. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead.
Yes. Hello. Well, I think
hello, ma'am.
One thing. Yes. Hello.
Hello, ma'am.
Can
how
you hear me?
How are you?
Fine.
I can hear you.
Thank
fine.
You.
This is how are you doing? How are you?
I think what we have to look at that hasn't been stated yet.
And how are you doing this evening?
Yes, I'm fine.
She's fine.
Can you hear me?
Okay. I can hear you very well. Ma'am. Yes, I just wanted to know how you were doing this evening. That's all.
She's fine.
Okay, I'm fine.
Okay, great.
I think what we need to look at that
okay,
has not been spoken to. Yes, I think what we have to look at that has not been brought up yet is why the girls.
I
can't hear the lady.
If you could speak up a little bit, Dee, I apologize.
Okay. Yes, I think what we have to look at is why the girls posted on Facebook to begin with. And from what the conversation has been, it would seem as though the girls felt very violated. And by posting, they felt that that was the only way they could express themselves.
Well, when you say violated...
Violated.
Oh, violated in what sense? Are you trying to say that... are you trying to say
to
that
pray.
I...
What school?
The only thing I did was...
I know what you said you did. I know what you said you did.
I put my hand on their thigh to make sure it was 2 inches above, and no more than 2 inches above the knee. And I usually will cup the thigh or put my hand around the thigh.
Are you lisping?
Am I lisping?
To yourself?
No, I don't lisp. I don't lisp, if that's what you're asking me.
She's asking, no. Are you listening?
I am listening.
Are you listening to yourself?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, of course I am.
You've got two teachers that have you have you as you're conveying. You have two teachers.
Of course I am.
That are. Would you let me speak, please?
Would you let the lady finish, Vernon? Because you are constantly butting in as she's trying to speak.
I said, "Of course I am." When she asked me, "Am I listening to myself?" God.
Here, you have two teachers that are having young women who are in the developing stages of their bodies, that they're very self-conscious, and you're having them parade in front of you and telling them what is wrong with them.
No, that's wrong. I'm saying what is
that's
wrong
what you...
with what they're no, I'm saying what is wrong with their what they're wearing. If they showing a big rear end, can I ask you a question? As a young girl, wouldn't you have rather known that you had a rear end that was way too big than just walk around in a pair of tight jeans and have everyone laughing?
And you didn't say anything about talking about their bodies.
I am not talking about their bodies, Mr. Henry.
You just got done saying they're wearing a something too tight with their, quote, big rear end.
I'm talking about their clothing. Yeah, it's too tight.
Well, I hope your school board is listening to this conversation tonight, because you're clear off, and you know it makes no difference if the football stadium is named after you or not. That has nothing to do with the way you are treating those young women. And I'll tell you, if I was a parent, you would not be treating my daughter that way.
Ma'am, I thought you would be fair because you sounded as if you would be a fair woman, but instead, you have said to me that I'm off the charts. Was that what you said, or off the? I forget what she said.
She's taking exception to a lot of what you've been saying. Okay. She's taking exception to a lot.
Well, she said that I was off the charts or off the scale or something that is indicative of mental illness. Now, didn't you say that, ma'am?
No, I didn't say anything about mental illness.
Well,
I said the way you were treating the women.
Right. And the way I'm treating the women, I'm off the charts. You said I was off. You said I was something about how you could hear outer space on my teeth.
Phil Hendry.
Lion old.
This hour of Phil Hendry is brought to you by Dynapep Micro Energy Shot.
From the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Ellen DeGeneres show. Tickets go to Ellen.
We believe that Emirates did not follow those policies and procedures.
First of all, we're not broke. This country is not broke. The state of Wisconsin is not broke.
We've got owners, most of whom are worth close to $1 billion.
And that's just the way it is.
World famous Phil Hendry show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch on this show, and we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they cannot. And I'll tell you, this is a very interesting, very, very interesting night, because what happened was I was reaching for a mouse. As you know, Bud, this is how I operate a lot of the audio files. I have computers.
Right.
And I am pretty much firing the audio with the computers using these mice. And I have them all set up in a sequence, and they got screwed up, and there I was fumbling with one.
Fumbling with one, and you should have been fumbling with the other, sort of
story of mankind.
Yeah.
All right, 877-876-PHIL is the number on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Jay Santos joining us with the from the Citizens Auxiliary Police as we talk a little bit about air security tonight. TSA staff jet blew it. What's that mean? Box cutters taken on JFK airliner. Well, anyway, a passenger managed to waltz past JFK's ramped-up security gauntlet with three box cutters in his carry-on luggage, easily boarding an international flight while carrying the weapon of choice of the 9/11 hijackers. And this is according to sources talking to the New York Post. We're going to have Jay Santos from the Citizens Auxiliary Police on here in just a second. A reminder, you can watch our video cast, high-definition video cast at philhendryshow.com. And while you're over there, pick up our Best Of CDs or the Phil Hendry, the official Phil Hendry Show shot glass. Jay, how are you this evening?
Phil, I'm doing very well. Thanks for having me on.
So tell me about security at the... you work for the Citizens, or you are a part of the Citizens Auxiliary Police, one of the founding members, an auxiliary police force. You're not an official police force, but you have found it necessary, you and others, to form a auxiliary citizens police unit because you don't feel the police were doing the job.
Well, I think when you put it that way, it probably sounds, you know, much harsher than it probably needs to sound. I wouldn't say that we don't think the police are doing a job. I would say, though, that, you know, we have probably a different situation than, you know, some people would like to say is an optimum situation, is the best situation. So what we've decided to do is form our auxiliary police force to, when we do see police or security people at an airport or wherever not quite doing the job that they should be doing, we can step up and remind them what they should do.
Well, I mean, when you step up and remind them, do you have any police experience?
When you say, do we have any police experience, we have combined, we have more police experience than you would probably guess. Most of us have been security guards with a long-standing record of service to different department stores, different places where credit unions, this kind of thing, check cashing places. So these are places that you might not think require that much security. I can tell you that the average check cashing place in Hollywood, for instance, requires way more security than probably a bank or something like that. So
you're all right. So let's just suffice it to say that you guys have some police experience. Now, we're not talking about the police. We're talking about TSA, and that is the airport security people. So it is being said today that they blew it. They let box cutters get on the plane. And that this was a terrible breach, given the fact that box cutters were used by the 9/11 hijackers, given the fact that this is exactly what these guys are supposed to be looking for. And fortunately, these were box cutters carried not by a terrorist. They were carried by an innocent citizen, a man who works in a factory, and uses this as one of the tools of his trade.
Well, that is exactly correct. And that's why I think there was a little bit of an overreaction to, because understand something, Mr. Henry, part of the job of being a TSA or even doing what we do, Citizens Auxiliary Police or security style agent, one of the job we do, and I don't think people really think about this, is the fact we have to be able to look people up and down and size people up. Sizing people up is one of the most underrated skills that we have on a Citizens Auxiliary Police. People think sometimes that we're involving ourselves in things that we shouldn't involve ourselves in. We should not be talking to citizens because we're not real police officers. But I would give you, I'd give you odds. We're better at sizing up people and looking and seeing what they're all about and whether or not, well, if you wanted someone to carry a box cutter on an airplane, who's it going to be? And it could very well be that's what happened with TSA. I have my own theory. And
well, you're not seriously telling me that they said they saw the box cutters on this guy and decided, well, he looks okay.
No, I'm not saying that. I am saying there are those of us that could do that. I'm not saying that there are people on the TSA that can't do that. I'm not saying there are people on a TSA what can't do it or what could do it. But I am saying that it is a skill. Now, what happened
I want to just go back on this. And maybe it's not worth talking about because we never, ever, ever would I ever want anyone working at the Transportation Security Administration to have the so-called skill you're talking about, which is, I'm going to size this guy up.
Why not?
Well, I just don't want anybody doing that on any plane that I'm getting on. I'm going to size him up. No, he looks okay. He looks okay. She doesn't look okay. I don't believe that anyone has that kind of ability to the point where you can secure an entire aircraft.
All right. Well, you're entitled to your opinion. And unfortunately, your opinion is not a professional opinion. My opinion is a professional opinion, and I am telling you that there are those of us, not a lot, but there are those of us who could do that. But let me tell you what happened, I feel, on the aircraft in question on this particular evening, which was last weekend. I think it was a Sunday or Tuesday. I forget which day that they say it was.
Well, it was this past weekend.
All right, so that would be it's not a Tuesday, so it would be a weekend day. Is that correct?
That's correct.
As I understand, the airport we're talking about is JFK. If JFK is anything like LA International Airport, Miami, or some of the other larger airports that do have an influx of international travelers as well as as well as a great bit of Caribbean traffic, or in the case of Los Angeles International Airport, going to Mexico, people are going through security and taking their shoes and putting their shoes on right there at the end of the security belt, at the end of the carousel, well before they are into the gate area. This causes a great deal of congestion. It causes a great deal of distraction on the part of the transportation security administrators. And what you have happening then, Phil, is these young men and women are looking at these people who are jamming up the egress area, putting their shoes on, because they apparently have no real consideration for other human beings. I mean, I don't want to say that.
Well, that's not a fair thing to say. You're saying that people are jamming up the area, putting their shoes back on, and what is that doing?
I'm telling you that distracts the TSA agents to the point where they're looking at individuals who obviously don't care whether the TSA agents do their jobs or not, because they're sitting on the floor, or they're taking a TSA chair away from someone who is, a lot of those agents, I should say, are going to have a sandwich or something. And so, do you understand what I'm saying?
No, I don't understand what you're saying. You're saying that the TSA is getting distracted by people putting their shoes back on, and it's jamming up the egress area, and that somehow does what?
What that does, if you are not able to, you know, connect the dots here, Phil, it's...
Well, look at Jay. There's no point in getting smart. I'm just, you know...
No, I'm not getting smart. What it does is it distracts our TSA agents so that they are not able to concentrate on a job at hand. And what is happening then is they are letting some things go, like these boxcars. And a lot of these guys are going to say, if this is the concern they have for me, if this is the concern travelers have for me, and I've seen this happen, where people are sitting there putting their shoes on, they're sitting on the floor, or they will take a chair, and it's something that is one of the bigger problems with a lot of air travelers. They take the chairs that are intended for the TSA agents who may go on break and have a sandwich, or want to have a cup of coffee, and they'll take the chair and sit on the chair and put their shoes on with their feet. And again, you wonder, when's the last time they took a bath or they washed their feet? Or what? I guess you can't really say anything.
Well, you know what? If you're asking people to take their shoes off in the middle of an airport, I guess you're asking for some dirty feet. I don't know. But how big a problem is this? I really want to know. And our number, by the way, folks, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Box cutters getting through at JFK and other things may lack the TSA's attention because people are jamming the area up, putting their shoes back on. And you mentioned also in one of your blogs that people are taking their time putting their computers back in the cases.
That is correct as well, Phil. People are sometimes opening their computers to make sure that, you know, the TSA agent didn't do something bad to it. There's a lot of this kind of what we call nerdnik nerdnik security alert.
And what is it, a nerdnik?
That is just a word that we use. When you have a nerdnik security alert is when some dork is looking at his computer and this. What we want is for people to get their computers back in their case, get their shoes on, and get away from the area that we are trying desperately, desperately to secure, to make sure the people are secure, to make sure there's no contraband getting on the aircraft, so that we can have a few airplanes fly across the United States on any given day without subjecting the passengers to the possibility of, my God, Phil, the horrible, horrible death disintegrating through a building. This is a terrible way to die, and we don't want anyone to die like that. But if people are going to be putting their shoes on, taking their time with their computer, standing there scratching their you-know-what.
But you didn't answer my question. How big of a problem is this? Because I have to tell you, okay?
It's a very big problem. From what I can see, Phil, it's a very big problem, okay?
Yeah, but okay, from what you can see, because what you've done is you've gone, and I understand that, Jay, from airport to airport, but do we have an official report on this?
I am telling you, as a professional, you know, I worked as a security guard, so I know what I'm talking about. And I'm telling you as a professional, when people are standing there picking their butt, excuse my language, putting their computer back in their case and putting their shoes back on and taking forever to tie their shoes, all of this is very distracting to TSA. Now, we've got to do something, and my solution, which should have been in place this weekend at JFK, is to go up to people and tell them you've got to get out of the area. Clear the area right now.
And what? And they're sitting there putting their shoes on.
They can take their shoes and walk into the gate area where there are chairs. Just get away from where we're trying to do, and I say we, I mean TSA, trying to do our work. But just get out of here and don't sit in a chair that was intended for TSA. A person going to have a sandwich or cook coffee. All right?
All right, hold the line here. 877-876-7445. The TSA is distracted by people putting their shoes on, distracted by people taking their time putting their computers back in their cases, distracted by people standing there picking their rear ends, as you just heard Mr. Santos put it. That's why box cutters got on board an aircraft last weekend at JFK. Do you buy it? And if we got to put our, if we have to take our shoes off in the first place, I guess we've got to put them back on somewhere. 877-876-7445, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
877-876-7445, that's the number, and that is Mr. Announcer Person just told you. Here, Jay Sattis with us from the Citizens Auxiliary Police. Jay, you were assisting, actually monitoring or observing, I believe, at Long Beach Airport, here in California one afternoon when somewhere in the neighborhood of 37 people missed a Southwest Airlines flight. And
hold on for just a minute, Phil, because if you're going to tell a story, you have to tell a story accurately, okay?
And I'm going to tell the story, and then you can, you, 37 people missed the flight because you were hurrying them out of this security area. 37 people, and let's, you know, I don't know how many shoes that is.
That's 74 shoes.
All right. All right, go ahead. You tell me.
You know, I'd like to tell you because what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to secure, and at the same time, secure the safety of the aircraft and make sure people get on a plane and make sure people get on a plane safe.
Now, you're not a member of the TSA, okay? Let's be very clear here. You were just observing.
That's correct. I was observing as member of Citizens Auxiliary Police.
But you were told to leave the airport after this happened.
No, I was not told to leave the airport. I left the airport because I was disgusted with the reaction of security at that time. What I did, Phil, was something that the Transportation Security Administration should do. I took all the shoes that were coming through the carousel, the security carousel. I picked the shoes up off the security carousel. I walked them over to an open gate that was near the security area. And I put them there, around the chairs. In other words, I got them away from the carousel.
Did the people know that their shoes were going to be... You know what I'm saying?
I was taking shoes. Did they know what? What are you saying?
Did people know that their shoes were going to be taken from the security area and thrown in a gate?
I didn't throw them in a gate, Mr. Henry.
Well, people were saying that they found their shoes laying all through this... Fortunately, there weren't people there. And
I'm not going to throw their shoes into an area that is populated with people waiting for an aircraft or waiting for people to get off an aircraft if I threw them, and you are trying to trick me into saying I threw them.
And, well, you did throw them, didn't you? You took these shoes from these people who were going through security that they'd taken their shoes off.
This is very funny to me.
I'm not making this up, okay?
I took the shoes that people had taken off and take their sweet time putting on. Can I just say that again? The shoes that they'd taken off and take their sweet time putting on, and I tossed them into a gate area. All right.
Okay. That meant that those people got through security and then had to go look for their shoes.
But it unclogged the area that we...
Yeah, it unclogged the area and people missed an airplane. Now, let's be...
Well, they missed a commuter jet. that was, I believe, going to San Diego. And
so what was so important about making sure that these people got through there so fast?
Because we're talking about securing an aircraft.
I know, but the point is they're going to San Diego, so it's not like there is an enormous amount of fuel on the jet that's going to make the thing a highly explosive missile going into a building. Why don't you just let TSA do their job? Instead, what you did is you picked...
Because TSA is not doing their job. TSA let box cutters get on an aircraft going at JFK Airport. Now, fortunately, those box cutters were owned by a man who was a factory worker who was not a member of Al-Qaeda. But if you've been a member of Al-Qaeda, he could take those box cutters and cut a person's throat ear to ear. Now, I can't fly on the aircraft with these people. If I did, I could protect them. The only thing I can do as a member of the Citizens Auxiliary Police is work around TSA, help them clear the area and take the shoes, throw them. If I could have, I would have thrown them in the garbage. That's how important it is to clear out an area.
If you could have taken people's shoes, you'd throw them in the garbage?
Absolutely. Yes, sir.
Why?
Because people sitting around putting their shoes on after they've had... God.
If I'm not getting something here...
You've got people that are... Understand, Mr. Henry, you got people that are taking their time putting their computers back into their computer cases.
And, okay, I understand that.
All right, and then you have people taking their time, putting their shoes back on in this gated area, in a secure area, where the PSA is trying to do their job, and people are sitting around talking and saying, oh, that's a nice, you know, pair of shoes you got. And as if, and then they're taking the chairs that sometimes are intended for TSA people to eat a sandwich. And I don't understand what is so difficult to... You know,
if the people need a chair to sit in to put their shoes back on, why not let them use that chair, even if it was intended for a guy from the TSA to sit down and eat a sandwich on? 877-876-7445. We'll take your calls after this break here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
You're eating a sandwich.
Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Jay Sanis of the Citizens Auxiliary Police is joining us. And I want to get into, Jay, as well, discussions of how things have been going at airport security since the whole X-ray. You know?
Oh, that's a good area of discussion, Phil, and things are going very well. As a matter of fact, we went, myself and about three members of Citizens Auxiliary Police, were at John Wayne Airport, and that's in Orange County. We are not TSA, but like I said, we were doing some observing, and I can tell you this much, people were, as you recall, very, very argumentative and angry when it came time for them to be either X-rayed, or a body scan, I should say, or to have a pat-down. And I'm very happy to report that people are as meek as a lamb now. I mean, they are very docile, and they do what they're told, and we don't have any problems like that.
Well, I mean, instead of saying that people are doing what they're told, maybe we can say that they see the value in just, you know, allowing the system to, allowing the process to take its place, you know, to take its course.
Well, Phil, I'm on the front line of law enforcement. I'm not quite as diplomatic as you. I like to call the way I'm going to see it, and I'm going to, you know, say it. I mean, people have backed off and letting the officer do their job.
All right, 877-876-PHIL on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show tonight. Let's get to some phone calls now. Jesse in Chattanooga listening on WPLZ. Go ahead, Jesse.
Yeah, first off, I want to ask... how long does it take you to put on your shoes?
Is the gentleman talking to me?
Yes.
How long does it take me to put on my shoes? It depends, sir. I mean, if I'm in my own house and I'm having a leisurely, you know, morning, I may go, you know, it may take me 5 minutes or so if I'm talking to my wife or whatever. But that's my home. If I'm out in a public place, especially an area like a TSA checkpoint, where it is very important to make sure that these people are not distracted and are not having to deal with you or somebody taking their sweet time putting a computer. I'm not saying you do it, but it may take, you know, it would be, I'd get my shoes on very quickly.
Well, you're saying you wouldn't put your shoes on there.
I would not put my shoes on there. I'd walk out of that area. I'd go to a gate, even if I have to walk in my socks for 100 yards.
Let me ask you another question. Do you guys not take into account that they're elderly people going to be flying?
Put your shoes on. How long does it take you to put your shoes on?
It takes me about 2 or 3 minutes. I've got boots. A lot of people wear boots. I work in a place where I have steel toe boots, and there's a lot of lacing involved with that. Not everybody wears Velcro straps or sandals or slips on Crocs and all that garbage. Some people wear, a lot of people fly their own business. They wear nice shoes and requires a number of lacing.
If you wear boots, there are boots that don't have laces. If you're talking about boots.
Well, he's talking about the kind that lace up. They must be some kind of a work boot, Jesse. Is that it?
Right. So,
well, I never heard of that. I never heard of it. Yeah, I mean, you can get a boot. And so you're going to an airport. I've heard of boots that lace up that girls wear.
No, work boots.
I know what a construction boot is, but not something that goes all the way to the knee. That's pretty feminine, isn't it?
Let me explain this to you, since you seem to just crawled out from under a rock. There are boots that go up.
I'm saying, isn't that very feminine, a boot that goes to your knee that you lace up?
He's going
to
explain it.
Okay, now, by lacing up, I'm talking, it's got 4 hooks on it, maybe 3. Just depends on what type you buy. It depends on the manufacturer of the shoe. Now, you've got to loop it through those and then tie it at the top. That's lacing it. I'm not talking about lacing up knee highs or something. I'm talking, you've got, it's a longer process than slapping belts or straps or tying up tennis shoes.
Why are you wearing something like that to an airport? That sounds, you said it was a work boot. Why won't you wear a slip-on or slippers?
What do you mean felt slippers?
I'm trying to explain that different people are there for different purposes. There are going to be people there that are going as more casual, and they're not on business. They don't have to be presentable, so they're going to be wearing easier to lace things up, like tying tennis shoes doesn't take so long. Putting on their sandals or their slippers, whatever they're wearing. Then there are people that come in there nice business shoes. Some of those have to be tied. People that are not necessarily worried about what they're wearing.
You're going through a security area. You need to wear a boot that is more of a slip-on or something made of felt that your foot goes into easier. And
what do you mean felt?
How many people do you think stop before they get ready to go to the airport? Like, I'm fixing to go through a security checkpoint. I better wear the best shoes to make the process faster.
There you go. That's exactly my point, sir. How many people do that? And the answer is hardly any. And what's the end result? We got ourselves a cluster, you know what? All these guys putting their boots on that take you. I still don't understand what you're talking about with these boots you wear. And
he's wearing. I know exactly what he's saying. These are boots. A lot of time, I used to wear a pair of construction style boots. They got a steel toe. They protect the foot, especially if you're walking around debris.
Well, he's not walking through debris. He's getting on an airplane.
The point is, Jay, that these are shoes that people have chosen to wear. It's going to take time to put them on. We're already observing a security process that is as difficult as hell to get through. Why can't we wear our shoes?
I'm just saying to the gentleman that you, Phil, that's something that's a slip-on. You know?
What do you mean a slip-on, man? You mean like a loafer?
Yes.
I don't wear them.
Oh, well, you know, I would suggest that you start.
Well, so now
why would you want to go on a... Why would you want to go on a long trip? Say you've got a car ride or a taxi ride or however your transportation, your means of getting to the airport is. You've got to get there. Then you've got to walk through the airport, which some of these airports are just massive. You get a lot of walking to. Who wants to wear loafers that entire trip and then onto the airplane? And if you take them off and it's something that easy, you're just going to feel free to kick them off. And then people around you may have to smell your feet if you've got an issue. And then when you get to where you're next terminal, you've got another airport. Hold on, no.
Do whatever you want to do. But you know what we got? We got bump scooters.
Airport to go through. That's 2 airports. Wearing loafers? Are you mad?
But what do you want to do? You want okay, great. You're wearing your tie up boots, and there's a guy with a box cutter. Happy birthday.
Oh, get out of here, a guy with a box cutter. All right, thank you very much, sir. For your... I'm telling you.
Well, you know, I'm glad you're enjoying the comedy routine, Phil, because I can tell you something. I was at the...
That's not a comedy routine. I'm enjoying, but you're going from the guy wearing tie-up, lace-up boots, whatever it is.
This guy's talking about boots. What you got to tie up all the way to your knee. Now, the last person I saw wearing a boot that gets tied up to the knee was female and British. All right, that's kind of an interesting thing right there. She, not only was she female, but she was also British. Okay, so that's kind of interesting. Yeah.
What's interesting about it? I don't...
Just the fact that that's the last person I saw wearing a boot that ties to the knee.
That guy wasn't wearing boots that tie to the knee. He explained it.
Well, he talked about a lot of laces. Didn't he not talk about wall laces? I thought I heard him talk about wall laces.
I heard him say that there were three hooks to the boot. Let's get back to the point here, and that is that you are standing in line there at Orange County, and you're doing what?
Well, as I said to you, the people have become very compliant with the body scan and the pat-down.
Okay.
We went to Orange County, and we wanted to see for ourselves if this process had moved along. And indeed it had. So we observed at that time a line of people going through the security check. They did have a first-class line. There were probably about four people in that line, and probably about 30, 32 people, anywhere from 31 to 29 people in the other line, the coach line. At that time, I did observe that they were being offered the body scan. Most of them had taken a body scan, but I'd say that probably about a half a dozen to ten, anywhere from 10 to 4 people.
What do you mean 10 to 4? I don't understand. You said 31 to 29?
I said anywhere from 10 to 4 people.
You mean anywhere from 4 people to upwards of 10?
I can't. I mean, all of a sudden... What's with you?
No, I don't understand what you're saying, that's all.
You don't understand?
All right, so you're saying anywhere... All right, so let's say 10 people.
It was either 10 or 7. And
God, all.
Mr. Henry, I'm trying to explain...
Go ahead.
It was 10 or 7 people.
All right, it was 10 or 7 people, and then what?
What happened was, those people were going to opt for the pat-down. They did not want to go through body scan. And I said to them that if you're going to opt for the pat-down, we don't want to hear you complaining, as passengers had complained a few months ago, about having an area touched or having it gripped or what have you.
Okay.
And that's when I reached down and I said, if you're going to have a pat-down, it's going to be something like this. And I looked this guy in the eye. I mean, I looked right at him. And I said, it's going to be something like this. And I grabbed a hold of you-know-what and squeezed. And I was looking at him. Not once did he flinch. Not once did he grimace. Not once did he say, how dare you. Not once did he get inflammatory or flame up or swell up or anything. He simply stood.
So the guy stood there. And you're not even a member of the TSA.
That is correct.
And a guy stood there and willingly let you reach down and squeeze.
That is correct.
And not once did he say a thing.
No, and that was not the only one. I said to these people, if you're going to opt for the pat-down here at John Wayne Airport, and this is an airport, Phil, is named after John Wayne, who's probably one of the most, you know, incredible people, I mean, movie star, everything that you want to talk about, okay? And
yeah, well, one would think that maybe a guy would mind having it gripped at John Wayne Airport, but...
Well, that was my thinking. See, that's why I'm bringing it up. Because if you're going to have a problem with a passenger at TSA or checkpoint where you reach down and get a squeeze, it's going to be John Wayne Airport.
And okay.
Well, you know what?
I know what you're saying. Okay, so did you go on and do any more?
We did. We checked probably another 6 or 7 and gave a good squeeze. And each time I would look them right in the eye. For the women, generally the same thing. We tried not to be too intrusive. I was not looking to have sexual, fun or be all excited about anything or something like that. I wanted the ladies to know, though, that it would be invasive, that would involve probably either 1 to 2 fingers.
Well, I don't know what that is supposed to mean. We're talking about patting people down as opposed to the body scan.
That is correct.
and you looked these people in the eye and went ahead and groped them.
Yes, sir, I did, and we didn't hear a peep out of them. So we've come a long way, a long, long way. And I credit TSA, I credit passengers, but this situation with shoes, get your shoes on and get away from me. You know, that's what TSA's basic marching order is now, and you see this in some of the break rooms for TSA. Get your shoes on and get your feet away from me.
What do you mean break rooms? They got that hanging up?
Yeah, they got it on the bulletin boards, yeah.
All right, Jay, well, thank you, and I'm not exactly sure whether we're in a better place or a worse place.
No, Phil, we're doing a lot better. We're doing a lot better. We got to get people to get those shoes on and get their feet, their shoes, their socks, and get them out of the area. Or guess what? We're going to have another plane blow up in the sky because someone's feet were more important.
Thank you very much. Jay Santos, Citizens Auxiliary Police. Man, I don't understand a word that guy says. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. We'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and what a night. Jay Santos and Vernon Dozier, and boy, I hope both of those guys sound like they're... Both of those guys sound like they're about to get moved out of their current jobs into something a little more permanent. Like bars and no window, you know.
What do you think? They're going to go to jail?
Well, I mean, the one guy is parading high school girls in front of him, checking out, you know, what they got. And then the other guy is gripping dudes in line as they're waiting to get through security at the airport. And looking them in the eye when he's doing it and saying, ah, yes, they're much more docile now. I think something's going to... I don't know. Something's going to happen and ain't good. Well, anyway, welcome back here on the show. And a reminder that we are online at philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. And that means that you can access our video cast, which is on air right now. It's on our website right now at philhendryshow.com, as well as our merchandise, as well as our thousands and thousands of hours of archive material. And, of course, we have our news feed, and, of course, we have our comment section and guaranteed email response, daily podcasts, classic Phil podcasts, all of them there at philhendryshow.com. Now, Arianna Huffington, who owns the Huffington Post.
Yeah, man, this story, now I know what you're talking about.
Now you know what I'm talking about. What am I talking about?
You're talking about what a douchebag she is.
I never said she was a douchebag. You know, she hung up on us one time, that's all. You know?
Yeah, I remember when she did that, she was douche-like. And I'll tell you why. Because she goes, I don't need this. And then, I don't know about anything else.
Okay, fine. You got the basic gist of it. Yeah, she hung up on us. I didn't hang up on her. Did you say I hung up on her?
I forget.
Well, in any event... Ms. Huffington has the Huffington Post, and she is of the liberal persuasion. She's a, you know, liberal, meaning that that's what she is. So she's got this post where she has bloggers contribute. And when people have said, you know, I've contributed to the Huffington Post, I remember I used to think, wow, I mean, that's pretty good. You know, I mean, you're published with a major news blogging service. And then I realized she's not paying anybody. She's giving them exposure. And many people have parlayed that, including our very close personal friend, who we haven't heard from in about 2 years, Greg Gutfeld.
Yeah, I'm going to give him a call.
Don't call anybody. In any event, yeah, Greg Gutfeld started at the Huff. Didn't start there, but blogged there for a while. He's a conservative, so... You know, it sounds to me like, you know, she's looking for smart people and good people. But here's what happened. As soon as she sold her website, The Huffington Post, for $315 million to AOL, the bloggers, some of the bloggers on her site said, no, wait just a minute.
That's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money, yeah. So it seems like it's time for you to start to kick in. Now, if the model is we don't pay bloggers, we give you exposure, then that's the model. But there's nothing wrong with someone saying, I know you didn't used to pay us, but now would you please, because you have all this money. I mean, obviously, people are looking for a paying gig. You know, this is recession time. The other thing that is interesting about this is that she is a progressive, a liberal, et cetera, and so on and so forth. And people are hurting. And we always hear about people, you know, we always hear about people hurting out there in the hinterlands and in middle America being the serious concern of liberals, progressives, Democrats, that we need to reach out and help people, yada, yada, yada. Here is a private concern, a private business that has just made a windfall with the sale of this business, or at least a some measure of this business, and she could actually put some money into the pockets of writers, political writers across this country, around the world. And her comment was, go ahead, go on strike, no one really notices. And she may be right. You know, Arianna Huffington's a really, really smart. She knows the publishing, or I should say, she knows the news business very, very well, you know.
Yeah, I thought you hated her, and then you seen her in on a Congress and everything.
Well, I don't hate her, bud. I don't hate her. So, no, I don't hate her, but I admire her instincts for news, because I saw her speaking before the United States Congress, a Senate subcommittee, and she was very eloquently breaking it down for these guys when they were considering bailing out newspapers. You remember that? Remember when they were thinking about doing that?
No.
Yeah, well, you know, I don't even know why I asked you that, because I don't know why you'd remember that. But it was right after the banks got bailed out, and a whole bunch of other people got bailed out, but not the newspaper business. She said, look, news is fine. Journalism is fine. Newspapers aren't doing too good. It's just the vehicle, as we like to say in the show, people get their news from. So Huffington's spoke alongside AOL chief Tim Armstrong at Paid Content's 2011 conference in New York on Thursday. She dismissed the notion that all bloggers should be paid given the wide platform HuffPo gives them. She argued that blogging on the Huffington Post is equivalent to going on Rachel Maddow, Jon Stewart, or the Today Show to promote their ideas. It isn't that they want to promote their ideas, Miss Huffington, it's that they want to promote their ideas, as other writers do, and get paid for it. The idea of going on strike when no one really notices, Huffington said, go ahead, go on strike. That's a let them eat cake statement, if I ever heard it, coming from a so-called liberal. That is an arrogant, entitled person's statement, and I think that that's really who she is. We'll be back. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
This hour of Phil Hendry is brought to you by Dynapep Micro Energy Shot.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
No interest in helping you with your life.
Ellen DeGeneres show.
I'm like a slut and a whore.
That is pretty gay.
God. World famous Phil Hendry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. We're gonna one of these days learn how to put stuff on a cart so that we've got levels here, bud. You know
what?
I mean, why is everything that we put in terms of... This is audio. This is a radio show.
Yeah, I know.
Okay. Then why is it the one thing that we are involved in here, audio, we don't know how to do? We don't know how to do it. We can't put stuff on a cart. We can't put any kind of sound file into a system that isn't over-distorted or underplayed, or there's always something wrong. Listen to this. Here it is. I mean, that was just absolutely butchered. And then we got ones that you can barely hear. Then we have ones that are way too loud. Then the music's too loud. Learn how to put this stuff. This is radio. This is audio. This is what we do. This is sound here. Sound. So you have to know what you're doing. You understand?
I didn't know. I just put the one at the lady.
Yeah, I understand that, man, but watch the levels. And if the levels are not good, then get some help, if there is any help to be gotten, which I realize is a toss-up. 877, oh my God, I was going to bleed from the nose listening to that.
No, I know what you mean, man. I can hear it all the way over here. I wasn't even wearing any headphones.
I almost lost my hearing listening to that crap. You know, turn that music off, man, before I I like country music, but not that much. Here it is, listen. That was something that was put onto that file and nobody listened to it.
I don't know. It was on a website.
Great. It was on a website. That means that that means that there was every possibility that it was dubbed wrong if it's on a website. You know, it's interesting. We're doing video here. We have our high-definition video, and it's all just marvelous. But one of the things that people in the world of video don't understand at all, and that's audio. They have no clue. They give very, very little consideration to how things sound. Mono, you know, sum it out. Who cares? And so I found with our new studio that in terms of actual audio and being able to produce the audio, there's very few options. Because video people are just all about the picture, and they never do really understand what the sound is. So you're belching and farting around here all the time, man. We can sure as hell hear that.
Yeah, well, that's fun to do.
Yeah, huh? Anyway, welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Here a little bit of inside production baseball. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, and, of course, we're online at philhendryshow.com. With a backstage pass, you can see live streaming video of the show. You can listen to our archives. You can listen to our podcasts as well as our classic Phil podcasts, which are free. Our daily podcast is a subscription, but our classic Phils, which include bits from our archives, are absolutely free. You can access both through iTunes. We also have our news feed, and we have our comments section as well. So I think it's kind of a fun thing. All right. Charlie Sheen says he's reached a custody deal with Brooke. And I say Brooke because that's what people are calling her. Her name is Brooke Mueller. I don't know how we got on a first-name basis with these people.
That's what he calls her.
Yeah, but it's not a quote. It says Sheen says he's reached a custody deal with Brooke. Anyway, Charlie Sheen says he's reached a custody deal with his ex-wife, Brooke Mueller. Now, this all started, as you know, when the wife decided to, put out a restraining order on this guy, and she wanted the kids back because she felt this cat was out of control. Sheen also was on Twitter saying, I'm not sure what all the legal noise is about, just verbally reached a deal with Brooke, no court on Monday, yay. Yet the opposition felt it necessary to still harass me with old gibberish, odd, perhaps transparent, you betcha. So he can't give up on it. The reported deal comes 2 days after Mueller obtained an emergency restraining order to keep the actor away from her children, saying she was scared of him after he allegedly threatened to cut off her head, store it in a box, and send it to her mom. Now, what's wrong with that?
Yeah.
Perfectly lovely.
Like a Valentine's Day present.
Exactly. Meanwhile, out there in the world of entertainment and giggles and fun, with 2.5 men shut down for the season, if not permanently, John Cryer needed a part-time gig and got a helping hand from Ellen DeGeneres. Cryer is seen on Thursday's Ellen show working in the talk show host's office as a temporary receptionist answering phones.
Ellen DeGeneres show? Tickets go to ellentv.com. Okay, thanks.
Messages?
Oh, yeah, just one.
Thanks so much. You really do good work. You do the work of 2.5 men.
You don't have to say that every time you pick up your messages.
Okay, thanks for being here. I appreciate it.
I needed the work. Ellen DeGeneres show. Oh, this is a train wreck. Ellen DeGeneres show.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's just some of the fun that people are having with Charlie Sheen and, the custody battle with his wife, Brooke. All right. We'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Stories about Brigham Young University and a black guy having sex with a white chick. World-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show. the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
All right, welcome back here, and we have some news that's worthy and some that isn't. It's pretty much the same old, same old. Here is a story that you might find interesting. I mean...
What about Charlie Sheen?
Charlie Sheen... Did a Northwestern University human sexuality professor go too far when he held an optional live sex presentation on campus grounds? Professor John Michael Bailey, a psychology professor known for pushing the envelope, invited students from his human sexuality class to observe a non-student naked woman being stimulated to the point of orgasm with a motorized sex toy on stage.
Sound pretty good to me.
Yeah. But this is at a school? All right. About 120 students attended the demonstration, which was curated by Chicago sex tour guide Ken Melvoin Berg, according to the Northwestern Daily Student paper. Melvoin Berg, who operated the device,
Yeah, maybe like her husband.
I don't know. Is this a dude? Ken? Yeah. He operated the device, emphasized the instructional value of the hour-long session, which also included a question and answer period. Talking about it. Doesn't always lend itself to this sort of thing, Melvoin Berg said. We're not just talking about it, we're actually doing it. Oh, okay, so you're having sex on stage. Well, you're not having sex on stage. You had a mechanical device stimulating this woman, so you're almost having sex on stage. Anywhere else, that's like, I think I saw that in The Godfather.
Yeah, it's like about like a donkey show.
What do you mean a donkey show, man? Just about.
Yeah, what's the difference, the donkey or that?
Well, one is an animal and the other isn't. What do you mean? Get out of here. The shock value could be attributed to offended parties not really knowing why they're upset, but knowing they're upset, he added. Don't you love these guys that are all of a sudden going to educate us as to the, if you'll pardon the expression, ins and the outs of sex? Don't you love these cats that, hey, let me tell you about how it is. Let me tell you about how women respond to this and to that. Let me explain to you. You know, I can tell you this much. If you've lived long enough, you've seen it all. You've probably done it all if you've lived long enough. And if you've been single long enough, most assuredly.
But what about that? You wouldn't go see something like that?
No, I ain't going to go see something like that. See, this cat has got this woman on this stage with this device. And the pitch is, I'm going to show you how women are aroused.
No. You think there's a lot of guys could learn that.
You know something? You ain't going to learn diddly squat watching a show like that. You ain't going to learn. You're not going to learn anything. You're not going to learn anything. Maybe if you watch porn videos, although I was watching something on TV today. This is a guy that was watching all kinds of porn after his wife got murdered. And it was one of the reasons why he murdered her, so he could be free to watch porn on his computer. And when the cops finally caught up to him, he made up with some story. He came up with a story that said, well, you know, I was watching it with my wife. We found it very instructional because our marriage was in trouble. Now, I can't even imagine that. I mean, I'm not saying that it doesn't happen, but...
Well, a lot of guys might do that, you know... Try to figure out what they're doing wrong.
In any event, we've gotten to a point in this culture where if you give it an instructional basis, you can pretty much, I suppose, you could probably produce those crush videos, you know, cruelty to animal videos, if we were putting an instructional tag on it. You could probably do anything. You could torture somebody. I mean, this is so transparent, it's beyond belief. The session was billed as a question and answer session about fetishes with a demonstration at the end, said Pratik Shaw, a senior math and economics student. Students were warned of the nature of the class several times, and some walked out before the demonstration. Then just out of nowhere, a girl takes her pants off, takes her shirt off, takes her underwear off, and there she goes. So this guy they talked to didn't stay the whole time. The professor and the administrators of the school, and this is Northwestern, have defended the class. I think that these after-class events are quite valuable. One reason is that I think it helps us understand sexual diversity. You got to be kidding me. What's sexual diversity about this?
Well, I mean, a lady, she's all, nude and everything.
So she's nude. So what?
Well, I mean, the guy's operating on the device. In other words, it's like he's almost demonstrating a car. If you want to buy the car, you know.
Demonstrating a car? Here's a new sexual device. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Well, then that doesn't belong in a classroom either. That belongs on a...
Maybe at the auto show.
Yeah, maybe at the... What do you mean at the auto show? Well, some show... I think, personally, I don't buy it, you know.
No, why not, man? I mean, if it's instructional, why can't? Why can't you buy that? If that guy's instructing people on how to do that...
Well, first of all, if this cat wants to be instructional, then why doesn't he just get down there and do it himself, you know? What's he got a quote-unquote device for, okay?
Then it would be prostitution.
Then it would be prostitution?
Yeah, or maybe like public sex or something like that.
It ain't public sex now? I think you guys have finally gone over the edge. I don't think you know what you're talking about.
No, you don't know what you're talking about. Those people wanting to learn something about how a lady gets aroused.
How a lady gets aroused. You know something, bud? There isn't a class that they could invent that would teach you what you need to know. How a lady gets aroused, huh?
I don't need to know nothing. My girlfriend's black.
Get out of here. Anyway, Bailey's class is a popular one at Northwestern, attracting 622 students this semester. After class panels, such as the one last Monday, are offered as educational addendums to the class. As a sexuality educator, I do think the demonstrations of specific arousal techniques, those definitely have educational value, she said. Who's speaking? Laura Ann Stewart, the Sexual Health Education and Violence Prevention Coordinator at University Health Services. You know, there's a lot of stuff I could say here.
Go ahead and say it, man.
Well, I mean, nothing beats the practical experience, but I think people are, you know, we focused on sex so much now. It's like it's probably one of the we are dangerously coming close to overrating sex, and I never thought that was possible. You know,
well, how are you going to overrate sex, man? It's the best thing going.
It is the best thing going, but we talk about it so much in this culture, and we display it so much, and we extend it into every walk of our life. Did I say every walk of our life?
Yeah.
Every walk of life, every walk of our life, that it runs the risk of no longer being special anymore. It's just it's another it's another activity, and it becomes, hearing people talk about it is boring as hell. Boring as hell.
No, I know that, but I mean, you ain't saying I'm looking at, not appreciating a lady.
I appreciate women. It's got nothing to do with it. What I'm talking to you about is that I appreciate women, and I appreciate what it is. What I don't appreciate, what I'm not necessarily, you know, interested in, is all of the freaking hot air, man. Blah, 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 blah. You know, how many times you getting laid? Are you getting laid? Did you get laid? How many girlfriends have you got? How much sex do you have? How big is it? How small is it? How medium size is it? Here's a device you can use for this, and here's a device you can use for that. And, what are techniques in bed? And, you know, you're checking out at the grocery store, and you're looking at the news rack, and 15 techniques he never knew that you knew that he knew, you know.
Yeah, like those lady magazines.
What is it with you and lady?
What's called women magazines?
Because I'm being polite.
Lady magazines. You know, how to satisfy her in bed in 3 easy lessons. How to satisfy him in bed in 2 easy lessons. What you need to know that you didn't know that you didn't know. What you ought to know that you should know that you haven't known. Here's something. What are the erogenous parts of his body? What are the erogenous parts of her body? What are the erogenous parts of his body that you didn't know were erogenous parts of his body? And what are the erogenous parts of her body that you didn't know were erogenous parts of her body?
No.
You know, I mean, it never ends, man. It's a never-ending obsession to the point of, well, I mean, it's obvious to me that people that talk a lot about sex, man, it ain't happening in their lives. It is not happening in their lives. Unless they're really young. Young people who are really new to sex talk about it a lot. That I get. But people that are older than, say, 25, anybody over 25 who is blathering on about sex, it just isn't happening in their life. They're not getting laid at all. Not at all. Otherwise, they would be talking so much about it, you know? And but it, like I said, it extends out to every other part of the culture. It extends into every possible topic. We could be talking about history, the sex of the mummies, the sex of the pharaohs, the sex of the daddies. We could be talking about geometry, the different positions, the logarithms of the orgasm. You know, we could be talking about geography. Is it possible to have sex with her in Bangkok, and by the time you get to San Francisco, she may just maybe be satisfied? Mile High Club. We could be talking about sex and outer space. Do we send astronauts into space with women? Do we send women into space with women? And what about guys that go into space with only guys? I mean, sooner or later, we talk about it when it has to do with warfare. Yes, I said warfare. Do we really send men into battle with women? I mean, after all, with all those bombs flying and all of those bullets and all that Al-Qaeda, they still may want to have sex in the foxhole. Every damn thing. Religion. Opie and Anthony. Have sex in St. Patrick's Cathedral and win yourself a six-pack of beer. I'm kidding around, guys. Well, I'm not kidding, but, you know. Sex and religion. Should there be celibacy among the priests? Should there be celibacy among the nuns? Why can't priests and nuns have sex? What kind of sex do priests and nuns have? In fact, we're really fascinated with sex when it comes to the clergy. When it comes to religion. Did Jesus have sex? Was his girlfriend Mary Magdalene? Or what? Did he have two or three or four or five or six girlfriends? Was Jesus a homosexual? Did he really have sex with the apostles? How do we know? I mean, my God.
Boy, now that you put it that way.
Now that I put it that way is right. I bet you sex and archaeology. Dr. Louis Leakey, he discovered in the morning a Peking man, and that afternoon he and his wife knocked one off there inside the pyramids. Who knows? I mean, even the name Dr. Louis Leakey is a little...
Yeah.
So there is not a pursuit, there is not a passion, there's not a discipline, there's not a science, there's not an area of study that we have not dropped sex as a topic into the middle of it to find out just exactly whether it's interesting, how does it feel, and one other thing, as you know, sex is the one activity in life that we gladly risk death for. You've known this. For a long time. That's why people will have unprotected sex. People will risk death. That's how strong the urge.
Oh, wait, I don't know what you mean by that.
What did I just get done saying?
Well, I mean, you said they'll risk death.
Yes, they'll risk death. Do people have unprotected sex, yes or no?
Oh, yeah, but I mean, you don't think about dying.
You ain't thinking about dying. No, you ain't thinking about dying. You try to put that as far away from your mind as you can. We will risk death for sex. Well, we're not going to think about it, but we're not going to wear any protection because we don't have any protection. We sure as hell ain't going to say no. So we just go ahead and we do it. We put that death thing out of our heads for as long as we can until, you know, we can't put it out of our heads anymore. When the doctor says, could you come into the office? We've gotten your test back. There's something we want to talk to you about.
Got hepatitis.
Yeah, that's it. Hepatitis. All right, we'll be back here on the Phil Hendry Show. A bus driver in Oregon is suspended for waving the Confederate flag. What the hell is that about, man? You're in Oregon. We'll be back on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. Call the Patriot Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Yeah, seen that one.
You mean, have I ever seen Orgasmo?
Yeah, that was like a machine and everything.
Well, what's that got to do with that? Welcome back, folks, to the show. What's it got to do with anything? Bud Dickman with me along with Robert Leonard. Go ahead.
Well, the girl was on a stage at the school, and the guy had an orgasmo machine.
That's what was going on?
Yeah. They were trying to show how to arouse a woman to that point, and the guy had a machine, like an orgasmo machine or something like that.
What do you mean an orgasmo machine? It sounds to me like all this guy had was some sort of a quote-unquote marital aid.
Yeah, but that's like the movie Orgasmo. What you if you'd ever seen it?
I ain't seen Orgasmo. Okay,
you got to get with Trey Parker and Matt Stone. They're funny.
I know they're funny. I was actually in one of their movies, the
Team America.
Team America.
You was?
Yeah, I was. Yes, I was. Grants Pass, Oregon. Ken Weber wears his redneck heart right out in the open for all to see. Yes, on his right arm is a red, white, and blue tattoo depicting his skin ripped open to reveal an American flag and the words 100% American. On his left arm, the tears reveal a Confederate flag and the words pure redneck. So when Weber was told to surrender the Confederate flag that flies from the CB antenna on his pickup truck or be suspended from his job driving a school bus in Talent, Oregon, the choice was easy. What do you think he did, Robert?
I think he gave up the flag.
No, he did not.
Really? Well, that's a shock.
You're kidding.
No, do you think I'm kidding?
All right, okay. Stupid question.
Yeah.
Weber chose his flag. My flag will fly, he told the Associated Press on Thursday. No one here is going to tell me what I can and I can't believe in. And, of course, that's wrong. Yes, they can tell you what to believe in. Well, no, they can't tell you what to believe in, but they can certainly tell you whether or not you can express it. It happens all the time. So consider yourself lucky, Mr. Weber, that it's just a Confederate flag and not, for instance, an orgasmo machine that they want to demonstrate. I'm just kidding.
What, like in a little teeny kid school?
I'm kidding. Anyway, Weber of Medford, Oregon, drives the kindergarten bus for Talent Elementary School. He has been driving the First Student Incorporated bus, which contracts all of these buses for the Phoenix Talent School District, which is up there in Grants Pass, Medford, and there's one other town up there. There's Grants Pass, there's Medford, and...
I don't know what it's called. Ruby
Boo? What the hell are you talking about?
What's leaving the river?
The Rogue River, man. Ruby Boo. It's called Ashland.
No, it's something else, man.
Something else. There's Grants Pass, there's Medford, and there's...
Grants Ass.
I'm going to belt you, man. Grants Ass. Anyway.
Yeah, it's Ashland.
Ashland, huh? You guys are real funny, huh? What a bunch of children. Anyway, Weber got the Confederate battle flag emblazoned with the word redneck as a birthday present in 2009 from his father. And he's been flying it ever since. But last month, school superintendent Ben Bergreen. Now, I got to tell you, when I read this article, I increasingly have a problem differentiating sometimes. Not a problem, but I've recognized that there are people that have that Stars and Bars flag and are not necessarily malicious, but they simply choose to ignore the fact that it symbolizes something very hateful for some people. They choose to ignore that. They say, I'm not hateful. I'm not a bad person. I love that Stars and Bars flag because that's kind of a redneck. South's going to rise again. You know, all the very positive things that one could think of about the South. That's why some people, not all people, have the Confederate flag. And then you got the KKK and the White Aryan Resistance and all the rest of these guys, all these Aryan Brotherhood, the bald-headed brotherhood, you know.
Yeah, the bald-headed and bald and no pubic hair.
Bald-headed and no pubic hair brotherhood, yeah.
Yeah, shave it all.
All right. Nonetheless, so then they wear it, or they have it, or they fly it, or they, I don't know what they do with it. So that obviously gives it a very nefarious and hateful and despicable symbolism, you know. So along comes this guy, and when I heard what this man said, to me it's clear. To me it's clear. Here's the guy. He's the superintendent. His name's Ben Bergreen. And this is what he said. He saw this on Weber's truck parked at the school bus yard at Talent, and he told Weber's supervisor the flag had to go or Weber had to go. The school district owns the bus yard. They lease it to First Student. And here's what he said. He said, the fact is our district is 37% minority students. It's common knowledge the Confederate battle flag is perceived by folks as a racist or negative symbol. The Southern Poverty Law Center, and this is really significant, the Southern Poverty Law Center said that more than 500 extremist groups use it as one of their symbols. We have a policy. It's about displaying symbols on school property that were racist or had a potential to be seen as racist. Might be a better way to say that. And so the policy is you don't get to show these symbols. Here is the first student spokeswoman, Bonnie Bastian, confirming that Weber had been suspended. She said she couldn't discuss the details. Now, Mr. Weber said he's been suspended without pay pending an investigation. He expects to have to sell off some belongings to pay the rent. I believe in God, and I know he'll get us through this. He has not hired a lawyer, but is considering taking his stand to court. Now, here's what the courts have said about this.
Yeah, this is a part that I want to hear, man.
All right, well, listen. Courts have upheld the right of schools to limit the display of the Confederate flag on their property. Last November, the 6th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals upheld the right of a Tennessee school district to suspend a student for wearing a T-shirt and a belt buckle bearing the image of the Confederate flag. Mr. Weber, who was born in Riverside, California, and that doesn't make any difference because I've got friends who are Californians who fly that Confederate flag, you know?
You got friends?
Well, I shouldn't say friends. Like the guy that operates my gas station.
Well, is he a friend or what?
He's like, what do you call a guy that runs the gas station that you know by first name, and you go in and he says, how you doing, Phil, and how you doing, Jerry, and, you know, he... I don't know. I guess he's a neighbor, okay?
All right.
Well, even if he was my friend, what of it?
Well, I mean, what's the guy flying that flag for?
I asked him. He said he likes that flag. He gives a rebel yell sometimes when guys go by. I said, where are you from? He said, I'm from California. So it's obviously, and he's got black employees. Now, I don't know how they feel about it, you know. But I personally... for me, there's a difference, Robert. I don't know.
I don't see no difference. If a guy flies that flag and he knows that people don't like it, why would he fly that?
Maybe it's because he wants them to understand why he flies it. Now, here's the thing. Here's the thing. And I'm not defending it. You know, perception is everything. As we've said, and we said it, man. You know, if you're going to hold David Letterman to account because he made a joke about Sarah Palin's daughter that was misunderstood, and Letterman, who is a professional, came out on stage and said, I should have known better, perception's everything. He's right. Well, if perception is everything, then that Confederate flag is perceived in total as the symbol of a racist, segregated society and a nation, at least the beginnings of a nation, that upheld the right of a man to own another human being as property, the Confederate States of America. That's what that was about. You can't tell me that it means anything else.
What about Southern culture and everything? You guys are talking about the bad stuff. What about the Southern culture and everything?
What about Southern culture? You talk about, there are black people that are from the South.
Yeah, but no, I'm talking about like, okay, what is Southern culture? Like having a, like a Southern dish, like ham and cheese?
Ham and cheese what?
Ham and cheese.
A Southern dish.
That ain't no Southern dish. You can buy that in any vending machine.
No, you can't. That was invented in the South.
The ham and cheese sandwich?
I think. Or what about this? Or okay, possum pie. Everybody liked that.
Possum pie?
Man, I wouldn't eat possum pie with your mouth.
Every year, are you kidding me? It's famous.
Famous with who, man? Possum pie is something that... You know what all that food is? That's poor people food. That's starvation. That's like poverty food. All that food came out of the South as the result of the Civil War just decimating the South. There was no money. There was nothing. I mean, that part of the country was destroyed by war. There was no industry. There were no farms. All the plantations had gone to seed. And people were poor, man, and they had to subsist on sorghum and possum pie and crap like that. And freaking, have you ever had chitlins?
I have, man. That's nasty.
Chitlins will make you wretch. Now, there's some people who probably like it. I'm telling you, I walked into a house once. They were cooking chitlins. I thought I was going to projectile vomit.
What is that?
It's like fried, what is it, Robert?
Fried pig gut.
It's pig guts.
Yeah?
Don't give me that yeah stuff.
Sounds delicious.
Uh-huh. So, you know, there's Southern culture, but every time you talk about Southern culture, you better remember to talk about one other thing. Not everybody who is from the South is white. And there's black families whose roots go back in the South much, much, much further than white people. much further. And if you're going to tell me it's Southern culture, nobody needs to tell any family whose family has been there for 500 stinking years. No one needs to tell them about Southern culture. So anyway, Mr. Weber considers himself a backyard redneck growing up. They hunted, they fished, they roamed the mountains, they drove ATVs in the mud. He dropped out of high school in Phoenix, Oregon, but he's working toward a degree in juvenile corrections at Rogue Community College. I work for what I have. I support my family. It's just who I am. I'm a redneck. It's a way of life. I think this guy is a little, I think he's a little innocent. I think he's just a, he likes the idea of being a redneck. I don't think he's ever pondered these questions, you know.
Well, so you're basically saying the guy's stupid.
No, I didn't say he was stupid. I said he may not be educated on certain topics and say stupid. He says, when you got the word redneck going straight across the flag, it takes away the whole thing. He said, it's just about standing up for what you believe in. This is one thing I'm doing, and it ain't coming down. He said, flying the flag had nothing to do with racism, extremist groups, or politics. He says he's got the word redneck going right across the Confederate flag. All right, see, and that I buy that too, you know. So,
well, I mean, so how do you figure that out?
How about this? If a guy's got a flag and it's the stars and bars and he puts redneck across the front of it, is that okay?
What? The whole Ku Klux Klan is redneck, man.
No, they're not. The rednecks are cool. Ku Klux Klan is bad.
Rednecks are cool. Ku Klux Klan. I'll buy that.
I don't know.
All right, we're coming back on a world-famous film. We're all done talking about this, so don't bug me. Coming back with more Hitler comparisons. They're doing it in Ohio, man. They're doing it in Wisconsin. Hitler's everywhere, man. Everybody's acting like Hitler. Hitler's making a comeback in Wisconsin. We'll be back on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Radio for patriots, by patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show. Now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Come on. You know, there's a lot of radio shows, but none of them are interesting to look at except ours. Our show is actually a radio show you can enjoy watching because of the mental illness that,
You gotta speak for yourself, man.
No, I'm not speaking just for me. For everybody here, the mental illness that pervades this show is something to behold. So check us out online at philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. And you can see our HD, our high-definition video cast, each and every night. Now, Ohio Senator Sherrod Brown, the GOP, tries to take down unions, and so did Hitler and Stalin. Oh, yeah!
You're kidding.
No, I ain't kidding, man. Look at that, man. How come that got stuck? That got all stuck. Yes, he said that Hitler and Stalin tried to take down the unions, and that's what the GOP is trying to do. Sherrod Brown is a Democratic senator from the state of Ohio.
As a nation, you know, I look back in history, in some of the worst governments we've ever had. You know, one of the first things they did?
A white man.
After the trade unions. Hitler didn't want unions. Stalin didn't want unions. Mubarak didn't want independent unions. These autocrats in history don't want independent unions. So when I see in Egypt, or if I see in the old Soviet Russia, or I see in history tells me about Germany, I'm not comparing what's happening to the workers in Madison or in Columbus to Hitler and Stalin. But I am saying that history teaches us that unions are a very positive force in society that creates a middle class and that protects our freedom.
Now, let me say this. That man is right to bring Hitler and Stalin into it and say I'm not comparing the present situation to Hitler and Stalin is disingenuous, because why would you bring Hitler and Stalin into it then? Why wouldn't you, if you're a learned man, which apparently you're not, sir, why wouldn't you bring in a more accurate comparison? Now, that's something you're never going to... Right now, people, you know, the conversation is so high-pitched and emotional and so completely out of control that you're not going to get anybody to listen to you. Now, here's the thing, though, that could be done. The people that are the Republicans that are trying to get done, whatever it is they're trying to get done in Wisconsin, and I know what it is, they're trying to roll back costs. They're trying to cut and slash and burn as much of the expense of government as they can possibly slash and burn. But if you're going to talk to idiots like Sherrod Brown, then you have to do a little of your own history investigation. You got to be at least twice as learned as this guy who's bringing up Hitler, which is the second time in as many weeks that we've heard somebody bring up Hitler. He is the de facto go-to guy to compare everything to Hitler. Whether it's leash laws, Hitler. Whether it's marijuana, it's Hitler. If it's a war, Hitler. If it's about the unions, Hitler. If it's about the waistband in your underwear, Hitler.
What do you have to do with that?
I don't know, but I bet you...
You think Hitler wore briefs?
I was going to say, I don't think so. I don't think they had briefs till after. I don't know whether he wore briefs.
What kind of underwear do you think he wore?
I don't know what kind of underwear Hitler wore, but I can tell you one thing. He had a couple of housekeepers that used to inspect the sheets on his bed. This is the truth.
You're kidding me, man.
No. Two housekeepers that took care of his house when he and Eva would retire for the night. In the morning, they would inspect the sheets to see if there was any evidence of you-know-what, because they weren't sure whether this guy had sex with women, goats, they... You know, I mean, I shouldn't say that, but nonetheless.
No, I mean, that sounds pretty interesting.
I mean, even his own people weren't sure. So, but we got to be talking about this stuff. Anyway, so if you're going to listen to a guy talking about Hitler and Stalin, then why don't some people do some studying and get, if you really want to get into a historical discussion, you could shut a guy like this down. He thinks he made a big proclamation there. Now, the other day I told you that one of the most respected Democratic presidents in the history of this country, when faced with a crisis, and that was war production, and the war production that had to get done so that our allies across the ocean, the British, would have the supplies and would have the war materials they needed in the Lend-Lease agreement that we signed with them. And now this was Franklin Roosevelt. He was a Democrat. And I told you the other night what he did with unions. And there are progressives and there may be Democrats listening to me tonight who are going to write me off as some crazy conservative. But I'm speaking about history right now. And I dare you to actually be as steeped in history as I am when it comes to these things. Roosevelt threatened the unions with, number one, he would fire them all and bring the army in. And then, as I said the other night, and then he would take the names of every member of these on these picket lines, of every member that was out there, and give them to the draft board. A Democrat, the father of Social Security, the father of unemployment insurance, the father of the New Deal. When it came time for this country to get cracking and to get on a wartime footing and to get serious, because we had a guy named Hitler and Tojo, and the real Hitler was the guy that Roosevelt was dealing with, not some apparition that Sherrod Brown's talking about. This jackass from Ohio, who would have to be reborn 50 times to even become close to Franklin Roosevelt, is talking about Hitler like he knows something about it. Well, Roosevelt did know something about it. And here's the first thing that Roosevelt did when he encountered the real Hitler. He almost busted union after union after union until they got their asses back to work. And only then did he back off. Otherwise, he was bringing the army in and he was going to give the names of those guys to the draft board. So suck on that one, Senator Brown. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show is produced by Jason Rance, technical director Rick Johnson, and our associate producer, and he does a great job, Dan Northcraft. Until tomorrow night or tonight, this is Phil Hendry saying, forget it.
Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.